Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about, one of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting/kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
Even the tiniest clue can lead to an arrest. On March 14, 1992, a man was executed for crimes he committed against women in a case that saw a simple carpet fiber as the domino that put an end to his killing spree. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Stephen Brian Pinnell was born on November 22, 1957 in Wilmington, Delaware, and known by most as a good and helpful young boy, but also quite shy and timid. A young boy fascinated with police work, Stephen was often heard quizzing one of his neighbors, a police officer, about his work whenever his cruiser would pull into his driveway. Shooting up to 6 feet when he was in his teens, Stephen was known as a gentle giant, graduated in 1976, and spent the next two semesters studying criminology. Unfortunately, those long-held dreams of becoming a police officer were completely dashed when he applied for the Wilmington Police Cadet Program, but failed the physical test. He instead became an electrician in 1987, got married, started raising his wife's children from a previous marriage, and moved his family into a Glasgow trailer home near Route 40. Though known as a decent family man who played sports with the kids, gave neighborhood children rides to school, and even dressed as Santa Claus for the holidays, things began their downward trajectory when, despite his job as an electrician and another as a bouncer, Stephen had a hard time getting consistent work and began racking up quite the credit card bill. The debt began putting a strain on the Pinnells' marriage, as did the domestic violence Stephen's wife suffered at his own hands. Like the time he broke her arm, an incident that was never reported to the police. However, despite these fits of violence, Stephen Brian Pinnell never really gave anyone any reason to suspect he was capable of committing a crime, let alone becoming Delaware's only known serial killer. Beginning his crimes around the same time he received those qualifications for working as an electrician, Stephen Pinnell, also known as the Route 40 Killer, killed at least three Delaware women and is suspected of killing two more. The first to fall prey to this dangerous man was 23-year-old Shirley Anna Ellis, a nurse who, on November 29, 1987, left the Wilmington Hospital at around 6 p.m., where she was working on treating an AIDS patient, and caught a lift that she hoped would safely take her home. She was later found by two boys along the roadside, partially nude, legs spread, arms and feet bound with tape. There were no signs of sexual abuse, but it was clear that the young woman had been viciously beaten before having a string tied around her neck and her head struck with a hammer. The second victim was 31-year-old Catherine A. DeMauro, who on June 28, 1988, was walking alongside Route 40 at around 11:30 p.m. She was found at 6:25 the next morning by construction workers lying naked at their site. Again, there were no signs of sexual assault, but she too suffered from strangulation and a blow to the head. Unlike the scene of Shirley's murder, though, Catherine's body was covered in some mysterious blue fibers. Covered from head to toe with the bits of carpet, officers from the Delaware State Police quickly leapt into action, and with the help of the Newcastle County Police Department, formed a task force with a headquarters near the Newcastle County Airport. Meeting with the FBI Behavioral Science Unit in Quantico, the agents confirmed their worst fears, that a serial killer had finally come to Delaware. With only Route 40 connecting the two victims, female officers went undercover as sex workers walking that stretch of highway in hopes of finding any useful clues. While they did this, putting their lives on the line, the rest of the task force members worked to try and identify those blue carpet fibers. While they did so, on August 22, 1988, Margaret Lynn Finner, a 27-year-old sex worker, suddenly disappeared after witnesses saw her enter a blue Ford being driven by an unidentified white male. 3 months later, a hunter walking near the Chesapeake Delaware Canal found her badly decomposed body. Though her exact cause of death could not be determined, there were clear signs that she had been tortured prior to her murder. Though this death left police with even more questions, it did provide them with a description of a vehicle that they needed to keep an eye out for. So that's why when Renee Tashner, one of those undercover officers roaming Route 40, saw a blue Ford passing seven times in just 20 minutes on September 14th, 1988, she knew that she needed to get a closer look at that driver. Purposely placing herself in a more isolated area, the vehicle stopped next to her, and the driver, nervous, began trying to convince her to get into his car. Renee, noting how the driver refused to look her in the eye, took a quick survey of the interior of the vehicle and found that the floor was covered with a blue carpet. Claiming she was tired, Renee refused to get into the vehicle. But as she did so, she somehow managed to tear off a piece of that carpet and write down the license number as he drove off. The driver was 31-year-old Stephen Brian Pinnell, a married father with no criminal record. Though he seemed like an unlikely suspect, while those carpet fibers were being sent off for testing, a search warrant was secured and officers began following Stephen. Monitoring his every move, with Renee even sitting next to him at a Moody Blues concert, she was even there when his daughter approached and, not realizing who she was and why she was there, asked for a donation for her school's fundraiser. When the DA approved the search warrant for his van, Stephen was pulled over for what he thought was a routine traffic violation and was immediately hauled into court to pay his ticket. A legal move to detain the suspect, albeit a rare one, the officers were now free to look at the van and not only found those carpet fibers that looked a hell of a lot like the ones found on Catherine DeMauro, but there were pieces of hair, blood, and a roll of the same brand duct tape found on Catherine's body. There was also a so-called torture kit that included pliers, a whip, handcuffs, needles, knives, and restraints. This was enough to warrant his arrest, and on November 29, 1988, exactly 1 year after claiming his first victim, Stephen Pinnell was charged with the murders of Shirley Ellis, Catherine DeMauro, and Michelle Gordon, a 22-year-old woman who, just days after another one of his murders, was out working along Route 40 and was seen getting into a blue Ford van. Her body was found on September 20th on the rocks in the Chesapeake Delaware Canal. She had been drugged with cocaine, which caused her heart to stop before any torture could begin. In addition to these murders and that of Margaret Lynn Finner, officials also suspect Stephen was responsible for the murder of 26-year-old Kathleen Ann Meyer, who disappeared after a police officer saw her getting into a blue Ford on Route 40 and wrote down the license plate number. It was a match for Stephen's vehicle, but her body has never been found. Invoking his right to stay silent, Stephen was taken to trial where a panel of defense attorneys claimed the initial fibers taken by Officer Renee Toschner was obtained illegally and as such should not be admitted into evidence. Determining that the carpet was visible to her eyes as soon as she opened the door, the judge dismissed the allegations and the fibers, which contained DNA residue belonging to the victims, was presented in court. Becoming the first trial in the U.S. to use DNA evidence as absolute legal evidence, on November 23, 1989, the jury convicted Stephen Pennell of murdering Catherine DeMauro and Shirley Ellis, but acquitted him of Michelle Gordon's murder due to lack of evidence. Deciding not to recommend the death penalty, Stephen was given two life sentences. Shortly after the decision was made and the killer was placed behind bars, a bouquet of flowers was sent to the prosecutor's office with a note that read, "You made us feel human again," from the women of Route 40. Appealing the sentence shortly after the conviction, still arguing against those carpet fibers, the court dismissed it and, based on new evidence introduced in the trial, convicted Stephen of murdering Michelle Gordon and Kathleen Meyer. Dismissing his lawyer and representing himself, Stephen shocked everyone when he announced that he wished to receive the death penalty. He later argued that the entire Constitution began with a verse from the Hebrew Bible, and that, as soon as the court found two witnesses to testify to his guilt, then he deserved to die under the Bible's laws, and cited two passages from the book to explain his position. Sentenced to death on October 31st, 1991, under the Delaware State Constitution, every death penalty judgment requires a further hearing from the Supreme Court. Stephen appeared before them, demanding death, on February 11th, 1992, and thus became the only defendant in Delaware history to represent himself before the Supreme Court and the only man convicted to willingly seek the death penalty. However, once actually there in the courtroom, he pleaded not guilty to the murders, spoke in third person, and said that the killer simply enjoyed the process of murder, but not the actual murder itself. Granting his wish, Stephen Pennell was scheduled to be executed on March 14, 1992. More appeals were filed on his behalf, both unanimously dismissed, and his wife Vera attempted to appeal the Supreme Court's decision with the help of the American Citizens Association and a law professor who argued that Stephen was insane and could not fully understand the gravity of his actions, and therefore should be barred from representing himself. The demand was rejected. Refusing interviews and any request to disclose the location of Kathleen Meyer's body, on March 14, 1992, Stephen Brian Pennell lay on the table and became the first person executed in Delaware in 46 years. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on March 15th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.